This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Yeah, I just hate to turn my back to everybody, so.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I have a few I can read.
Okay.
Shall I read them? They're short.
Yes.
This is Matsuo Basho Renga. These are very fun to do. You're going back and answering, tying into the specific group of words that the person before you gave you. And then he used to lead these groups together, tea services and so on. So he wrote this in 1690. And so here's Basho. Under a tree, both soup and fish salad are covered with cherry blossoms. The weatherly sun peaceful, it's fine weather. Traveler passes scratching louse bites as spring ends. He hasn't learned how to sport a sword with a sheath cover properly. Come the bright moon, promotions are made at the temporary place. The woodcutter makes a rice huller swiftly. To the saddled 3 years horse, the autumn has come. The rain changes its name in various ways. So I'll start with Basho Chinseki Kyakusui, Basho Chinseki Kyakusui, Basho Chinseki. Got that? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula. So I would like to start, and then when we have, when you'd like to share a poem, well, after I'm done, I'm going to move. And then if you have a poem to read, then you'll come sit here so that Paula can see you and we can see you. This is by Kyogen. Remember death. If you think you're special, if you bask in power and riches, get some perspective. Take a walk in a graveyard. Whether in a small town plot in Iowa or in a grassy field of Arlington, those once precious bodies molder in silence. Be sensible. You hope for the resurrection of the physical body in vain. Only what precedes life survives death. There is no room in heaven or hell for cadavers, whereas, I'm told, innumerable bright souls may dance on the head of a pin. All we take with us on our long journey toward the light is what we are.
So this one is called The Gardenias. Gardenias as in the flowers. I had these gardenias in my house, and that's the only plant I have. I think I have a succulent as well. I was photographing these gardenias as the bud would come up and the flower would flower and then it would die. And so I wrote this after. It just came out like that. It's called The Gardenias. Birth and death, eternal rivals, seem to have a level playing field. Rise and fall similar players wear the shirts of these two teams. The referee change is hiding, yet ever present and highest. All of it seems to me a bittersweet ongoingness. But beyond this game is perhaps the resting place of the immeasurables, the ones drenched in pure innocence, the gardenias.
Should we not record?
Yes, we should be recording.
It's loud.
It is already recording.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to go next.
Don't you find any of my thoughts? Too bad. Can you find any of my thoughts?
This is a poet from San Francisco, Carlos Ramirez. He was originally from El Salvador. His life was destroyed there and he ended up in the United States along with his family. How to stay warm on a cold day. How to stay warm when it's wet. How to stay warm on a cold, cold day. Bellow it out now without regrets. How to stay warm when it's breezy. How to stay warm when it's cool. How to stay warm, it's quite easy. Howl it out like a carefree fool. Birds may be gone, well, it's winter. Gone off to faraway climes. An invitation awaits you. Sing it out now and ring your chimes. How to stay warm on a cold day. How to stay warm when it's wet. How to stay warm on a cold, cold day. Bellow it out now without regrets. How to stay warm when it's breezy, how to stay warm when it's cool, how to stay warm when it's quite easy, hollow it out like a carefree fool. Birds may be gone, well, it's winter, gone off to faraway climes. An invitation awaits you. Sing it out now and let your little light shine. A little chilly today, so I thought you'd like that.
That's what they had us sing in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's great.
Yes. Can you go ahead and share your name so that we all know.
My name is Gadi. And I would like to read you a short poem that I've written 2 weeks ago. I come from Israel, a home country, and 3 weeks ago we had one of the most horrible days ever. And I've written something that I would like to share with you. It's called You'll See. And also apologize that English is not my native language. I gave it a really good try. In the wailing wall, our history unfolds. Stories of misery through stones and rocks are told. Amidst blood and tears, we stand hand in hand. For thousands of years, we still take a stand. Oh, my Lord, with bended knees, I seek your accord. Help me before I am gone. Support me because my heart is torn. Promise me that the light will shine. In the face of darkness, my people will redefine. Through the tears of children, our spirits soar. In the face of hardship, we'll strive for more. Hope will blindly strive to see. For you and me. But our wounds and pain, only with love as our guide, will break the chain. But unity will find our way towards a brighter, more peaceful day. Oh, my Lord, we loudly repeat this song. Together, we are now strong. With hope in our hearts, we'll stand free. Soon we'll find our peace, you'll see.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm John from San Mateo. It's the first time coming here. I read this poem, it's called To Peel an Onion. I just found it in this book. We cook a lot of onions at home. The ones who don't talk are the hardest. Their lavender faces grinning. The white meat of their brains, serpent-wise, is spinning. I could scream with a knife-like wound. I could screech and snatch my pain. But I can no longer make whole their lazy underpinning. So I eat and accept the broken, broken pieces thinning, trying to keep my eyes from pulling in their twinning.
That's great. Thank you.
Anyone else ready? Todd.
So my name is Todd. And I put
Hi, Todd.
Yeah, hi, Paula.
Hi.
You remember me?
Yes.
So in the spirit of what I appreciate is this moment. And here we are looking at here. This is, to me, spent a lot of time. This is visual poetry, as my presence is, right? And this space here is rarely used, this camera, right? Mm-hmm. And where is the camera, right here? It's like, and there are I need to always introduce that this rectangle, which is a configuration in much art, a rectangle over a square, over circles. And there are many forms of visual poetry in this rectangle where I stand, where I sit. So this is not rehearsed, what I'm saying in some ways. The word I like to use is here is extemporaneous. You don't know what I'm going to say. This is vital to practicing here. This is what I hope is or wish to cultivate every time I sit. So somebody discarded this book when they looked at it. They didn't want to look at it. They wanted to look at another book. So I pick it up because it's something I've learned about things that are discarded to look at them. And I open the book and I just flip through. I don't know what I'm going to say. Busy, busy, busy. People rush about. Their eyes are downcasted, intent on private things. The pursuit of fame, the cultivation of wealth, the accumulation of power. So many pass through life, measuring and counting, scheming and planning. Preoccupation and distraction have become normal states of consciousness. Body and heart have fallen into disuse. They may be wealthy, famous, or powerful,
But where is joy? Where is serenity? Where is love? If too busy to be, you're too busy.
Do you have the name of that book and the person who wrote it?
There it is. It says, you've seen this probably before. I don't think I have. There's World Within Silence.
I can't see very well.
108 poems. Really? You can't see that?
Yeah, 108 poems of Zen and the Way. And then yeah. Where would I find it? The name of the person who wrote it.
It looks like this guy.
Kugan.
Kugan. Okay. Translated. Okay, good. Thank you.
Mon plaisir. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Mary. I'm also going to share something from Kugan. Okay. This one is called An Inch of Buddha. Each Zen sitting is an inch of Buddha. Gradually, through practice, we grow a Buddha body. The purity of Buddha mind spirals outward. But if each sitting is an inch of Buddha, why is the path so long? Excuse me, but I've just been informed that the original Buddha is 84,000 feet tall. Yes, please.
If my feet are asleep.
Are there more people ready to come off?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Tony.
Hello.
I'm reading a stanza from the last poem in a T.S. Eliot. It's four quartets. We shall not cease exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Through the unknown remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover is that which was the beginning. At the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, and the children in the apple tree, not known because not looked for, but heard, half heard in the stillness between the two waves of the sea. Quick now, here, now, always, a condition of complete simplicity, costing not less than everything, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. When the tongues of flame are enfolded into the crown knot of fire, and the fire and the rose are one.
One. Hi again.
Good.
I'm Judy. So this one again is from Kugan. From each its own. Right from the heart, Ryokan tells us. Only one's own experience guarantees authenticity. Let lovers write of love and sages of wisdom. Let bodhisattvas manifest compassion and Buddha's suchness. Yes.
Hello, I'm Jamie, and I'll be reading from Ocean Poem.
This one's called The Gift. ABC, ABC, she doesn't know what comes after. So we begin again. ABC, ABC, ABC. But I can see the fourth letter, a strand of black hair unraveled from the alphabet and written on her cheek. Even now, the nail salon will not leave her. Isopropyl acetate, ethyl acetate, chloride, sodium lauryl sulfate, and sweat fuming through her pink I Love New York t-shirt. ABC, ABC, A, the pencil snaps. The bee bursting its belly as dark dust blows through a blue-lined sky. Don't move, she says, as she picks a wing bone of graphite from the yellow carcass, slides it back between my fingers. Again and again, I see it, the strand of hair lifting from her face, how it fell onto the page and lived with no sound. Like a word, I still hear it.
Okay. Hello again, my name is Karan. So this is by Rumi, and it's a short one. Yesterday was glory and joy. Today, a blackened burn everywhere. On the record of my life, these 2 days will be put down as one.
Wow. Are there others who want to read? It looks like there are two people there, but I don't know if they're still there.
Jiro is going to come.
I'm Jiro, and this is a poem by Robinson Jeffers. He lived on the Central Coast in California, and this is a poem about the coast. It's named Point Joe. Point Joe has teeth and has torn ships. It has fierce and solitary beauty. Walk there all day. You shall see nothing that will not make part of a poem. I saw the spars and planks of shipwrecks on the rocks. And beyond the desolate sea meadows rose the warped sea wind-bitten van of the pines, a fog bank vaulted forest and all. The flat sea meadows at that time of year were plated golden with the low flower called footsteps of the spring, millions of flowerets, whose light suffused upward into the fog, flooded its vault. We wandered through a weird country where the light beat up from earthward and was golden. One other moved there, an old Chinaman, gathering seaweed from the sea rocks. He brought it in his basket and spread it flat to dry on the edge of the meadow. Permanent things are what is needful in a poem, things temporally of great dimension, things continually renewed or always present. Grass that is made each year equals the mountains in her past and future. Fashionable and momentary things we need not see nor speak of. Man gleaning food between the solemn presences of land and ocean. On shores
where better men have shipwrecked, under fog and among flowers, equals the mountains in his past and future, that glow from the earth was only a trick of nature's. One must forgive nature 1,000 graceful subtleties.
Anybody else?
Who would like to go next?
Paulette, do you want to read another one?
Yes, I don't know if this will work. This is a poem Coben wrote, and also his calligraphy. And I don't know if I can make the screen big enough to hold it all up, but it has to be vertical. Maybe I should get farther away.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. There it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's, if you want to see the power of the spirit, it's right in front of you. And this one is, you can find perfect peace if you desire nothing.
Wow.
Oh, bad.
So just a little background, Paula. So Coben Chino Otagawa is the founder of this temple. And and he came from Japan with Suzuki Roshi invited him to come to America to spread Zen here in the United States and especially here in California. So
he was also my first teacher, and then Angie came later, and then Judy. And then me, and then Judy and all the other people that Angie's ordaining.
Yes.
Okay, where did I leave off? Do you remember? Just thinking of you has warmed my heart.
Oh no, share that one.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I've been going through old things I have of his that I've saved, talks he's given and so on. Yeah. Okay. I guess you can. I better read it. The great promise hidden within you is boundless.
Wow.
So tell me when I get it in the right place.
Yes, yeah. You're there. Yes. Wow.
I'm glad Jerome's here.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, this is Snow Lies and Drifts Beneath a Clear Full Moon. Higher, lower? Is it okay?
No, it's perfect. Yes.
I'm doing something perfect today. Okay. This is the white cloud reflected in a mirror. Cannot speak.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
If anyone wants to, come up and see this later, I'll be here to hold it closer to your face. Did I already do this? And who cares? Maybe the moon bathe it. May the moon bathe us in his pure, cool light. So how much time do we have?
What time is it, Joel?
We have time.
Yeah, we have about 10 more minutes.
Okay, I've run out of calligraphy, but this is by Angie for Copen. He was, of all of us, I think, around the area, he was her first teacher. She and her husband drove into Tassajara just by accident. They were lost, you know, and people told her about Copen. So this is, for Copen, my teacher. You have become a murmuring in my wrists, high whine against the collarbone, eerie, familiar whisper whenever I wake and become an ear. Your low white words stalk slow as egrets up and down the dark knobs of my spine. Year after year, your insights burn into my knees and rib cage, sometimes flaming into sudden useful knowledge. Your constants presence still lives in me from inside out like good food. And here's her poem from Purig, Austria. To walk in zigs and zags takes the steepness out of the mountain. A strong stick spares the knees when gravel slides underfoot and rolls. In the yard, the sheep are bleeding. Even in mud, husbandry goes on. They're brushed and fed and crooned to. We offer incense at the Jesus Buddha altar, where our Buddha, in a photo, looks aside almost askance. He's ashes under stones and snow now, and every break I take. They had a Buddhist, they had in their big place, they had a statue of Buddha and a statue of Jesus in Purig, Austria. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Copen was made friends too with a monk, a priest, a Catholic priest, just when he was doing his walks around the mountains above Los Altos, I think. I was staying there for a while, and Copen happened to be living right at the bottom of the hill where I was, but I was too embarrassed to visit him. I mean, that was with his, you know, girlfriend after his wife. And I wish I would have, but he's still here.
I have another poem from Angie. Okay. This is a book that of her poems. Angie, as Paula said, is she was a teacher, and she had she established a Zendo called Floating Zendo, which is where I started my practice. And here is a poem by Angie Boisvain. Another walk. No, there are few uses and no reasons for the soft mandala of any pink October rose. But here they are in the seaweed where we walk, cool and spacious above the distant rush of blue against Duxbury Reef. And yes, orange butterflies drink with passion from the Tower of Jewel's blue spikes. Each one a soft-winged sign pointing, here, here, where crowned sparrows shake and bushes and sing, where crowned sparrows shake the bushes and sing. And the ancient grass, as always, gives its own narratives about rain and fire and the gentle mouths of the hungry. Here, where we walk, we can study the slopes and paths and patterns of friendship, gracing the outlines of wordless love as it appears everywhere,
scarlet sword leaves of eucalyptus blazing with sun, and below, purple nightshade in deep shadow beside the stream.
Still going strong.
She's wonderful.
I know, I got to see her a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, when we came up to visit my daughter in Santa Cruz. And there's this whole thing. I had to go and get a, I missed it the first time because I was supposed to get a scan. And then I missed it the second time. Anyway, we finally made it to go see Chris. And, you know, she was at Angie's and she took us out to lunch and everything after, as we were leaving. Yeah. To Angie. Yes. Here for Angie.
Angie.
Listen to this, Angie. We love you.
Who would like to go next? Okay.
So this one is from Juro, who's sitting right there. And I don't know the title of it, but it was an email, and the title of the email is called Yesterday Returning to Kobe from Tokyo. And he sent it to me and Yang. So it's how it goes. It's in the nature of moderns to zip past Mount Fuji, drinking hot coffee. Is it not the view of Mount Fuji alone that suffices? It rises so gracefully from its grand, broad base, up into that pure white summit, well balanced in the bright blue sky, effortlessly embracing this wholeness. The slight bitterness of this coffee pairs well with the elevating sweetness of that white grace, and the cup's warmth pairs with that pyramid's cold. Now, in our rushing away, a soft, warm bitterness stains. Thank you for that, Jill.
Writing in Shinkansen.
I'd love to share another, please. Hi, it's Mary again.
Hi, Mary.
All right, this one is by Kugan again, and it's called The Wobbly Pivot of Zen. My question for you is, what would you rather be, perfect or complete? I, for one, will settle for wholeness. You'll have to take me as I am, the rough with the smooth. Shall I repress my anger against injustice? Shall I be tolerant of ignorance and intolerance? Should my heart not flare up against greed and violence? Much of Zen life and art is decidedly eccentric. Ryokan loved his wine. Ikuyu sang songs to his blind lover. And Bobo Roshi found the light in society's shadows, in the dimness of brothel. Yeah. Beautiful.
That's a good one.
Me. So I do this ritualistically. These are my cards. I don't know what I'm going to read. I maybe can scan it in the moment of this time. Oh, here. Non-violent communication, universal human need needs are impulses of life. Judgment equals need. Disconnect. Judgment equals. Judgment, disconnect, equals need, connect. Smart, but kill a lot, equals human. Transcend conflict. Shark fittings. Disconnects, should, shouldn't, morally wrong, morally right. Judgment equals unmet need, anger, recognize judgment. H2O pump replace, front brake pads, bleed brake system. Shapasana. Do you know this? Surrender, death. Sensitivity to motion, detect. 3 hours. Ginger lemon, 4 lemons, 2 inch, 3 inch ginger stalk, 4 cups water. 1/3 cup maple syrup. Universal human needs. Look for the need. Drop a bomb on you. I drop a bomb on you. No compassion. Drop a bomb back. Peacemaker. Feelings tell us our needs. Messages of our needs. Protective use of force. Who am I becoming? Notice. Mind, body. Clock in, Peter Gruber, State of Mind, Public House, and Pizza. Peace, calmness, tranquility. Tired, are you? Impact driver. If we are already enlightened, why are we sitting? Karen.
Thank you, Pod. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Good. Hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm a San Mateo resident. I like to share a poem from one of my favorite poets of all time. His name is Su Dongpo. He is one of the brightest men in history. Rose to the top of, you know, highest offices in ancient China. But because of his brightness, he actually got exiled to a very far place. But that place happened to have really rich culinary culture. So then he ended up developing a deep interest in culinary art and actually passed down a recipe that's still shared by many around the world right now. You probably may have eaten one of his recipes, which is a braised pork dish. So he actually wrote poems and cooking as a, I guess, coping mechanism to, I guess, repress his anger towards the unfairness of the government for exiling him. And this is probably one of the early poems that he's written before he probably reached enlightenment. So the title of the poem is At the Washing of My Son. Everybody wants an intelligent son. My intelligence only got me into difficulties. I want only a brave and simple boy who, without trouble or resistance, will rise to the highest offices. So Yeah, I guess this is probably the beginning of his self-discovery, that he still wished his son to also, you know, go into the highest office and be ambitious and, you know, and play the political game. But then later, he actually, you know, reached a lot of self-realizations and wrote a lot more about nature and actually came to the conclusion that nothing matters in, you know, the political realm, that he should focus on, you know, writing about nature and, you know, continue to develop his culinary skills. And then what later on when, you know, the government change offices and offer him a new position, he refused to go back because, you know, he's found a new life and that he loves. Mm-hmm. So that was my sharing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the background too. That's really wonderful to know.
It's good.
Yeah. Are you ready?
This is not a poem book.
Oh, it's not a poem book?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Maybe next time.
Okay. There won't be no poem book. Maybe you can choose one. Who would like to go next? There's nobody.
Paula, do you have another poem? If not,
I have poems to Coben.
Okay. Do you want to read some?
It's very they're short. I know you read it once, because I had actually lost but I found it and lost it again. So, yeah, this was written quite a while ago. You know, after his death. I put in the first part. Young Tozan asked his mother, when another person comes to me after your death and asks, what was he? What was his truth? What should I say? Am I speaking to you or am I dreaming in my own house? The dogs are old and easily led back to the gate or unclaimed. In a waiting shuttle place, let me sit in the hall and feel how it is here. Your eyes are as dark as stones at the bottom of the river. Lucky, the dog, has teardrop markings on either side of her face, her fur smooth flat. I like to smooth it flat, not knowing how it happens, a body, a mother, not knowing how. This is also a chapbook that I could find it. I haven't time to look right now. Silk cocoon in a shoebox of mulberry leaves, or a woman whose face, chin, nose, cheeks smells like night. No search for a self, though circumstance gets louder. Green tea, a cup with no handle, small drawer pulled open to the what inside. Something urgent I explained to your others and myself, then trying to go on. A loopy arrow. I think it was here where we are right now. Head banging on sand, thunder in my fist. We laugh together, exchange flash through me. You hand me a cup of tea. I feel like a camera on a jet recording its own flames. So this is kind of a childish kind of situation too. So hold or let me lie beside who thought I'd know before the fire and the cold flashed sidelong eyes, nursery phones on the rain, songs on the rain phone. Entering the butterfly house, you hold out watermelon sleeves tied back, Let the butterflies sip. Who wanted the beautiful, unexpected, wanted that. In my chapbook, I had a little butterfly that I even stenciled.
Yes.
I guess that's it. That's what I have. Since I've been going on about COVID. But yeah.
Daryl, do you have a... Yeah, thank you. Daryl, do you have anything
you'd like to share? No, not thank you.
Okay, how about you, Akbar?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you for joining, though. Any more poems? Okay, if
thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.